Could we turn this morning to John chapter 14? John chapter 14, we're on the final run-in, if you call it that, of the 12 disciples. And we're coming now to the 10th disciple. But I want to read from John's Gospel chapter 14. Remember, Christ is about to go to Calvary, speaking to the disciples in the upper room. Judas, of course, Judas Iscariot has gone out. But in John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, then we have Philip asking a question, and the Lord continues to teach them. I want to go to verse 15. Verse 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." We know that God shall bless these readings from his own infallible and inspired word for his own glory. Welcome you all to the service today in the Lord's name. Could I just thank all those who helped, Edith and the whole team of women and men, on Tuesday at the senior citizens' lunch. We enjoyed a very good time, and Gwyneth as well, for preparing to play for Sam at that lunch. And we just thank you for all who put so much work into it. And we, say we, as I have my pension now, I'm 65 over, but you probably knew that looking at me, but anyway, young senior citizen, we enjoyed it, and thank you very much for the effort that you did put in that. Now today is the building fund, please remember that. Now there'll also be baskets at the door this morning and this evening. The reason is that tonight Reverend Philip Gardner and his family will be here from Perth, Australia. They're only home a few months, and by the time I was telephoned, all the Wednesdays had gone. So we have them tonight. Philip will speak, and then after he speaks, and with him, he'll show a short 11-minute presentation of the church, showing you the church there in Perth. So any money in the baskets, that's this morning, if you want to give but not able to come tonight. And also after tonight's service, we'll of course go to the work in Perth and Philip's support out there. So remember that tonight. Practice for the singing group, at 5:30 tonight. And then 6:30, the prayer meeting, 7:00 tonight. As I say, Mr. Gardner will be here. Andrew is speaking up in Tyndale tonight at an after-church rally. I think it's a carol service. And then during the week, remember Tyndale, they're having two, I think they're calling them carol services. I'm not sure the title is such, but it's on the Falls Road. There's a building on the Falls Road that they have booked, and they're going to have two nights to seek outreach and remember the Tyndale congregation. Tuesday night, the last children's meeting before the break. Wednesday night, the prayer meeting. Lord willing, we will speak on the gates again. We digressed on Wednesday night to show a video of the conversion of the man who bombed Pearl Harbor, how he became an evangelist, the Japanese, because it was the anniversary that day. So back to the gates of Nehemiah. Friday night, the youth fellowship. Next week, the Lord's Day, Bible class, Sunday school. Lord's table. The Sunday school, and then 11:30 and 7, I hope to be here. Now the night, the family service next Lord's Day. The family service, next Lord's Day, there'll be special singing. There's always tea afterwards, and could we ask group two and three, to please wait behind this morning. And that is to have the prepare for the tea next Sunday evening. Those sample books on Luther, they can be ordered. They're still there to look at. December the 25th, the service will be 10:30. 10:30, the evening service as normal at 7 p.m. Last week's offering came to a total of £1,572. Let the Bible Speak calendars are available, £3. Remember those, please. Now, the free will envelopes for next year are there. Of course, we do not publish, or even the committee or I know what people give. It's for your benefit or systematic if you wish to have envelopes. Some are involved in what they call the Inland Revenue Scheme. For those who pay taxes, in that case, it's only private with one person to know what, because you have to sign, obviously, for that. It's to be authenticated. But if you wish to know more about that scheme or wish envelopes, they're there on the way out. If you, those who already do take envelopes, just look for your number and you can take the envelopes there for next year. Gary Boyd, who, of course, came to the services for many years and, you know, in the last months, has gone downhill physically. During the week, he fell at the home and broke his hip. He did have the operation on Friday, and he's still very confused. He hasn't been able to speak now for a few months. I was up with him this morning, left about 9:00, got in with him, sat with him for a while. And he is very confused, eyes open, looking around, but we stayed with him for a while. But do remember Gary in your prayers. He did have the operation on the Friday. Well, let us turn in our hymn book, please, to 171. 171, please. Joys are flowing like a river. Since the Comforter has come, he abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. It's the hymn number 171. 171. Joys are flowing like a river. Thank you. last verse, let's stand, please.
One of the
Well, can we open our Bible, please, at John chapter 14, and it's the 22nd verse. John chapter 14, and it's verse 22. John 14, 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself? That means to reveal yourself, make yourself known unto us, and not unto the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to consider this another one of the 12 disciples that thou didst choose, Lord, guide us, help us, we pray, teach us lessons that will be a blessing to us and a challenge to us and a comfort to us. And, O Lord, help us now as we look in thy word, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. We're speaking in this 10th apostle, the other Judas. The other Judas. Not many parents name their child Judas. Yet it's a lovely name. It's a lovely name. Now, the reason is, of course, that the name Judas Iscariot, the 12th on the list, his name has become a byword for treachery, for betrayal and deceit. So people don't name their child Judas. Yet when you come to the list of 12 disciples, there are three sets, if you like, of names. There are two Simons, there are two men with the name James, and there are two men called Judas, not just one, but we have read here of Judas, not Iscariot. So there were two men called Judas, and we must never mix them up. They're distinguished. And every time this Judas that we're looking at, the other Judas is mentioned, where it's made clear it's not Judas Iscariot. It's not Judas Iscariot. And John, the writer, makes that very, very clear. Tragically, Judas Iscariot, and we'll look at him in a few weeks, he brought shame and disgrace and ignominy to that lovely name, Judas. But this disciple bore that name well. Some things about him. His identity. How can we identify this man? What do we know about him? Well, the answer is not too much, for it's only in John 14 that we actually have any incident in which he was named as such. He was one of the obscure apostles. And yet he was a man with three names. He was a man with three names. Not just one name, but he had three. The first name is in this verse, Judas. Now, parents do name their children Jude, Judah, Judith for a girl, and there's Judas. Now, they're all the same name. They're all the same name. My birth certificate says Ronald. I often get called Ronnie, although my mother didn't like that. You're Ron. I usually didn't get called Ronald, so I thought it must be something official. It was Ron I always got. Well, Ron, Ronnie, Ronald, it's all the same name. Judah, Judas, Jude, Judith for a girl. They're all from the same name. They all have exactly the same meaning. Now, it's a wonderful name. It's a highly regarded name. You see, Judah was one of the sons of Jacob. His older brother Reuben lost the blessing. And the blessings and birthright were divided between Joseph, and his two sons got some of the portion of the land. He got the double inheritance the firstborn should have got. And Judah became the leader of the family, the patriarch, if you like, of the tribe, of the whole family. Judah of course, developed into the tribe of Judah. And when they went through the wilderness, they marched behind a particular banner of the tribe. Judah always went first. When they went in to conquer the land, let Judah go first. David the king was from the tribe of Judah. They would be the leading tribe. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of Judah, we're told in the book of Hebrews. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, it's a wonderful name. Wonderful name. What I'm saying is, Judas is just a different spelling of the same name. In other words, the mother and father of Judas wouldn't have, they called him Judah. I know it's translated Judas in the Greek here. Same name. Wonderful. But he had two other names. If you quickly turn to Matthew 10 and verse 3, we can show you that. Remember, there are four different lists given of the 12 apostles. And in Matthew chapter 10, you'll search and you'll say, well, where is Judas here? Well, the name Judas isn't used for him. In Matthew 10, verse 3, James, you see the middle of the verse, the son of Alphaeus, we looked at him last week, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now you go to Mark and he's called Thaddeus. You go over to Luke and he's called James. Sorry, he's called Judas, the brother of James. In Acts, he's called Judas, the brother of James. It's the same person. It's the same person. He had three different names. James, son of Alphaeus, brother of James. Don't know which James he was brother of. He was called Thaddeus. He was also called Labius. Now, these names are interesting. His surname, what I believe that probably was, that his name that his parents gave to him was Judas. An honored name. An honored name. Judas, by the way, and Judah means praise. Or to be precise, Jehovah be praised. What a name for a child. Lovely name. But he also got the name Thaddeus. And if you go into the background of this name, it really means the baby of the family. The baby. You ever seen a mother and you're introduced to her middle-aged son and he's about 6 foot and say, what's my baby? Boy, big baby. My mum used to do that to me even when I was 50-something. This is my baby, the baby of the family. I was the youngest of four. Well, you know what the term means, the spoiled one. No, it's the older ones. By the time they get to four, you're not spoiled anymore. Anyway, that's not what brothers and sisters say. But the baby of the family, that's just what it means. Now, I wonder, was Thaddeus the youngest of the group? We don't know why, but he got this name. This name that has the idea of affection and loved, Thaddeus. And then he's called Labius. And the meaning of that word is the idea of the heart. But it also is the connotation of courageous. Now, he had lovely names. I wonder, did those names describe him? I don't know all his life. We're not told. Wouldn't it be great to think that he lived up to his names? Do we live up to our name as a Christian? We have a name. Do we live up to our name? It's amazing, these three names. And when I thought about his identity, Judas and our text in verse 22 of chapter 14 of John, not Iscariot, making it very clear. Two men called Judas among the 12. Two men called Judas among the 12. How different their destiny. They had the same privileges. They had the same opportunity. Both of them for 3 years lived and walked and talked and ate with the Savior. Both of them saw the Savior's miracles. Both of them heard his preaching. Both of them heard his loving invitations to come to him for rest. Both of them heard his solemn warnings of a place to shun called hell, where the Savior said it's better to cut off your right hand if it offends you to go into heaven rather than to be cast into hell. And both of them heard all these things. Both of them went out on preaching trips. Both of them, we're told, came back, all the disciples, and said, we've cast out demons, we've performed miracles. And the Lord said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Judas Iscariot's name wasn't written in heaven. Isn't this solemn? Two men with the same name, same opportunity. One has his name on the foundation of heaven, the New Jerusalem, and one's in hell. You see, two people can sit in the same congregation week after week and hear the same messages, be prayed for, hear the gospel, and yet one go to heaven and one to hell. Two in the same family. Oh, how solemn this is. Which Judas describes you and I this morning? Which Judas? Which Judas? Judas Iscariot, the man who sold heaven, who kissed the door of heaven, and yet went to hell. Or the Judas, the other Judas we're thinking about. It's important. It's important. His identity. Don't mix them up. But then I think of his popularity. His popularity. Now I know I said he's obscure. But you know, he's very popular today. Very popular. Now, maybe you mightn't realize that because of your background. But if you were brought up a Roman Catholic, you would know he's very, very popular. Because, as Jim Winter reminded me last week, Matthew is the patron saint of accountants. But Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. In other words, if you haven't got your answer, your request, and you're in desperation, who do you pray to? St. Jude. St. Jude. Now, I already knew that. I remember many years ago, some of you remember him, Pastor Jack Mitchell, and you remember him telling that he was on holiday in Southern Ireland, he and some others, in a B&B, and during the night he came down the stairs to go into the kitchen, he needed some water, and he opened the door in the middle of the night, and there was the landlady, lady, and she was kneeling on top of the kitchen table, climbed up on top of the kitchen table praying, because there on the wall in front of her was a picture and a shrine to Saint Jude, the patron saint of hopeless causes. And he just quietly came out of the room. I remember him using that as an illustration how we believers ought to pray. Praying to Saint Jude. So I thought, well, I'll just look this up to see how popular he still is. I didn't have to spend much time because the very first thing I looked at was Irish Times. Irish Times had a big two-page spread on the popularity of St. Jude in a shrine in Dublin. And it had pictures of prayer requests that are left. There are four big books there that you write your prayer request and put it in, and it'll give you the name of the person, St. Jude, pray for me. It went through the book. You can light a candle for 30 cents. All the different prayers. The most popular was pray that I'll pass my driving test. Pray for my son, he's overseas, he'll come home to visit me. Pray for this, pray for exams, pray for this. One was actually pray for my son, he's taking his PhD course. Pray he'll pass his PhD course in the university. And there's all these requests written out for jobs and so on. The man who's head of the shrine, Father Brian Mackay, a prior of Whitefriar Street Church, said, "What St. Jude does for people is to give them something to believe in at a time when they're feeling hopeless." And if you look in the newspaper sometimes, in the obituary columns and thanks, local papers and all, look out, you'll see oftentimes, "Thanks to St. Jude, pray to St. Jude." And they're thinking of this Judas. That's who they're thinking about. Of course, he doesn't hear them. Isn't it sad? The Roman Catholic Church has put such a popularity here. And there are millions, that's just in Ireland, there are millions around the world. Pray when they're in desperation to St. Jude, help us. And there are sample prayers that you can repeat to pray. Well, wouldn't Judas, not Iscariot, be horrified that his name would be used in such a way? Now, if you're in chapter 14, turn to verse 21. Sorry, earlier verse than that. Sorry, verse 12. Turn to verse 12. Verse 12. End of the verse, John 14. "Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Judas heard in that upper room the story we've read here. He heard the Savior say, "Listen, man, because I go to the Father, Because I am going to Calvary and shedding my blood and making atonement for sin and paying the price and accomplishing the work of redemption. And because I'll finish the work, I'll be raised from the dead and I'll ascend up into heaven because I have made the atoning work. And the Father will exalt me to His right hand as the high priest, as the only mediator between God and men. Therefore, when that day comes, you will pray in my name. And the Father will hear. If Jude would be horrified. They call him St. Judas. St. Jude, Judas, same name. Horrified to think that people are praying to him. My Jude went out preaching. I'm calling them both names this morning. Jude went out preaching. In the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit came, and he would have told people, Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Come to God through him. And thank God this morning, we don't tell people to go to a church. To go to a supposed saint. We can tell them, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved this morning, and you said, but I don't know how to be saved, and I just can't work up the faith. Listen, forget about your faith, your works, your repentance, your tears. Forget about everything about you, and just cry out, Father, in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus, hear me. Give me that faith. Save me. Give me grace to believe. Call upon him. Judas heard that day the Savior saying, if you ask in my name, the Father will hear. And of course, as believers, we can come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And we can have our prayers answered. But oh, somebody not saved, we can tell them, go to Christ. So I'm thinking of his identity. I'm thinking of his popularity today. His popularity wrongly. But lastly, let's get to this inquiry he made, the question in verse 22. What's the question? He asked this question. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He's saying, look, how is it that we will know you and see you, but the world won't? How could that be? Now, before we get into the question, look at the first word of the question. Do you see it there? Lord. Lord, isn't that amazing? Lord, hold your finger there and go back to chapter 12 of John, show you something. In chapter 12, you remember Mary took the pound of ointment, anointed the Savior's feet. In verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas, now it's not the Judas we're looking at, for it says Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Look at the question he asked. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Ah, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Judas Iscariot was a materialist. He was only interested in money, in stealing it. We talked about stealing this morning in the Bible class. But notice in that question he asked in verse 5, there's no Lord. You see, Judas Iscariot didn't call Jesus Christ Lord. But let's go back now to the upper room. And you know what's very, very interesting in the upper room? You see, when you go back to chapter 13 and 25 in the upper room. Chapter 13 and 36, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Simon Peter said, Lord. And then in verse 25, same chapter, then lying on Jesus' breast, that's John, Lord, who is it? Go into chapter 14 and verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord. See that? Look at verse 8 of chapter 14. Philip saith unto him, Lord. Now we're coming to our text again. Judas, the other Judas said, Lord. Isn't that amazing? Judas Iscariot never called him Lord. But those five questions, Lord, Lord, John, Peter, Philip, Thomas, Judas not Iscariot, Lord. When we come to speak to Christ, he's Lord. See, that puts everything into perspective. He's Lord. He's Lord. Oh yes, we come with our questions. Well, what about his question in verse 22? Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself to us? How are you going to reveal yourself and not to the others? You see, the Lord had said, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. And he wanted to know the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? You see, in the heart of Judas, he wanted to know Christ. He wanted Christ to reveal himself to him. Do you? Do you have a desire to know Christ better, that Paul too, you remember his cry, that I may know him? That I may know him? This man, Judas, was heartbroken. The Savior says, we're going away. Savior said, I'm going away to prepare a place. You can come to me, but we don't know where to go. Don't know where to go, Thomas had asked. Yes, you do know the way. And then Judas says, but Lord, how will you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Well, here's the answer. Here's the answer. The answer is given in verse 16. I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter, another of the same. Comforter means somebody to come alongside you, that he may abide with you forever. In verse 26, he's called, but the Comforter. The Savior says, look, when I go away, when I die and pay for the price of sin, atonement, and I go into heaven, I'm going to send you another like me. Another who is the same as me. And he shall be in you. What does he mean? He's speaking about the third person of the Trinity. Now, when we say third person, we don't mean one, two, three in sort of scale of worth or importance. Not at all. We just mean the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He's co-equal. He's co-eternal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal. Now, there's a unity in the Trinity. You say, I don't understand the Trinity. Well, who does? But we believe it because the Bible teaches it. There's three, yet one. And they're co-equal. They're all equally God. And so when you have Christ, you have God the Father. That's the point he's making. They're all one. And this Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. And what Christ is saying to them, look, man, I'm going away, but you're not going to be left on your own. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to abide with you and he's going to be in you. He'll be in you. And he actually says here, not only that, he shall be in you. But look at verse 23, underlines what we're trying to say here. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words and the Father will love him. And notice, listen, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Trinity is one. He will come. Now, this is wonderful. When we've been studying the disciples, and you think here in the upper room, don't envy the disciples. Don't say, oh, I wish I'd been there. What a privilege it would have been to sit there. But you've missed it. You see, those disciples were needing to be taught that Christ was going away. And they wouldn't see him anymore with a physical eye until he comes. Now, for the 40 days after the resurrection, obviously appeared to them in his resurrection body. But when he ascended, and they needed to learn that they see him spiritually. How? By the Holy Spirit coming in. You see, Judas was thinking in earthly terms, material terms, physical terms. He was thinking, Messiah, oh, you're going to set up a kingdom. You're going to rule and reign and chase the Romans out and you'll be king and the whole world will acknowledge you as king. How is it that we can see you and not the world? That's what he's thinking. But you see, there's this whole age yet. The Lord is coming again and every eye will see him, but that's not yet. But while the Lord has gone from human view, people of the world can't see Christ. But the believer, we can see Christ just as the relationship Judas and the other of the 11 faithful had after Christ ascended. We can see Christ with a spiritual eyes. How? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us and it's his ministry to make Christ real to us. It's his ministry to teach us all things. That's the point he's saying here. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, that's what he says in verse 23, because the Trinity is one and the Holy Spirit's within us. But notice, there's a difference in verse 22 between us and the world. See that? How can you reveal yourself unto us and not to the world? Are you one of the us? Christ only reveals himself to the us. Why? Because when you trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. He's the Spirit of Christ. and he reveals Christ to you. The day you were saved, the Holy Spirit revealed Christ as the only Savior, and you trusted him, and he continues to reveal himself. What does that mean? It means, Christian, as you walk this life in fellowship, obeying the word of Christ, you know what happens? When you're worried, the Holy Spirit will turn your thoughts to the person of Christ. When you are afraid, he'll give you the peace of Christ. When you're lonely, the Holy Spirit will work within you and give you a sense of the presence of Christ with you. When you're feeling downcast and feeling there's no hope, you don't go to St. Jude. No, the Holy Spirit works within you, and the world can't see it, and your unsaved friends or family can't see it, but there's a strange awareness comes over the Christian. Why? Because you see that Christ is praying for you at this moment and thinking about you, and you are revived. That's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit manifests Christ to you. He manifests Christ, the us. Who are the us? Those who are saved. Who are the us? They that love him. They that love him. And by when you know Christ as Savior, we've the great blessing of the Holy Spirit with us, revealing Christ to us continually. And that's why Christ is saying, I'm going away, but man, you're going to see me after I've gone, but the world will not see me. Ah, but Master, you go out preaching and we all see you. Ah, but what he's saying is, Judas, it's a different relationship after the resurrection and ascension. The Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to you. Who are the us? Those who love him. How do you know that you love him? Well, look very quickly in verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me. Have you got verse 23? If a man love me, he will keep my words. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. You've got the negative there. In other words, the proof that you're one of the us, to whom the Lord reveals us himself, you obey the Lord, you keep his commandments. Now, if you're not saved, the first commandment you have to be concerned about is to repent and believe the gospel. But after we're saved, here's the words of Christ in this book. And as we obey the word, the Holy Spirit reveals the loveliness of Christ and the power of Christ and the presence of Christ and the promises of Christ as we obey. Oh, I know we live in a day when people are looking for all kinds of experiences with instant coffee and instant this and that, and they want instant spirituality. But it's not like that. Even the great apostle Paul, who had known Christ in an intimate way for years, said, oh, that I might know him more, he meant. It's a growing knowledge. It's a growing revelation. And you see, the Holy Spirit is a person. Oh no, he doesn't have a body as we have, but he is a person. He has emotions, a will. He can hate, he can love, he can be grieved. And when we don't obey the Lord's word, he's grieved. And he's not carrying on his ministry in our lives as he ought and wishes to do, to make Christ clearer to us and dearer and to reveal heaven to us. Why? Because we're not obeying his word. And the secret of the Christian life is this: trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's how we grow. And so Judas asked this wonderful question. Lord, how is it you reveal yourself to believers, but not to the unsaved of the world, the person of the Holy Spirit? Are we grieving him? Do we know his work in our lives? Are we obeying the word of Christ? The same words can be said. A group of people can hear them. Some are blessed. Some are moved. Some hearts are warmed. I came across an illustration. I said, boy, that's good. I thought it was good. Somebody put it this way, and they used Charles Wesley. They said, if you got one of Charles Wesley's hymns, and then we did sing one earlier. Remember the lines that said, we feel our interest in his blood and cry with joy unspeakable, thou art my Lord, my God. Now, he said, if someone was to print that out on a piece of paper, throw it down in the street. You see a dog coming along, sniffs around it, walks on, means nothing to him. The road sweeper comes along, a piece of paper, looks at it, sweeps it up, throws it away. A materialist like Judas would have come along, I wonder, is that some money in it? And a piece of paper, throw it away. Not a literary expert who likes poetry would pick it up. Oh, that's beautiful poetry. That must be Charles Wesley. But a believer comes and picks it up and reads those words. We feel our interest in his blood and cry with joy unspeakable, Thou art my Lord, my God. And when a believer reads that, oh, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to them, and they say, well, it's not, of course, only a hymn, but it's based on Scripture. Thank you, Lord, I have an interest in your blood. Thank you, Christ, for dying for me. Thank you that he's my Lord, my God. Are you in the us or the world? That's the question this morning. That's the question of life. Ask it as we finish. Are you one of the us? We'd say in Ulster, usans. That's not grammatical, but you know what I mean. Are you one of the us? Are you still in the world? Do you love Christ? See, to love Christ, you must know his love for you first. Oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good.